counted me out. Moment of truth, counting it down. Underdog story was down for the count. Back on my feet, back with a mic, back on a beat, back with a fan, let it bang in the streets. The game on lock, I stand with a key. Standing my ground, I am planning to flee. Standing my ground, I am planning my feet. Taking a stand, embracing my destiny, shaking his hand, flipping the script, changing the plans. Up to the top and I'm taking the fans, making them jump, making them dance.
What is going on, everybody? That is the coolest song of any of our openings. Like, that is the best one. I could listen. I don't get sick of it at all.
That's good.
We are here live, early edition of Thursday Night CrossFit Talk. We're about an hour and a half before our normal start time. The reason is one of my best friend's wife, and she's also one of my best friends, is turning 50 tonight or today. And so we're going out to dinner after this, to celebrate her 50th birthday. So we just moved this up a little bit so we could go do that, but I've never eaten this late.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say never eaten this late. It's been a long time unless I'm at the games. And to stay up this late is going to be a tough thing. So, I'm just going to try to hang in there.
Did you get your zone 2 in today?
I did. Right after I talked to you, like right after I texted you, I went right out to the garage. Okay. I will tell you, it went pretty well. My butt's not used to like sitting for that long. Mm-hmm. But other than that, it went pretty well. Other than the allergies are so bad in my front yard still. It's raining. I'm hoping they go away. But I coughed so hard that I got lightheaded. And I was like, oh my, if I just cough myself back into AFib. So that's why I posted that cardio mobile thing on Instagram, because like, at least now I can like run in, check my EKG, everything's good, I'm safe, and go back and do whatever. But it was really scary. Like, it was like, I almost blacked out for a second. I coughed so hard.
Jeez. Well, it looked like you had a big workout on Tuesday.
Wednesday. When
was it? Yes. No, it was 2 days ago. Maybe it was yesterday. I don't know, but you made it to zone 4.
I did. That was yesterday. That was interval. And they were sprint intervals. So it was, and again, everything is about confidence for me right now. Like, what can my body take? And so it was that one was 100 meter run. I'm wrong. 400 meter run.
Okay.
No, 100 meter run. And I did 300 meter bike into 12 wall ball shots. I scaled it to just air squats because the weight on my body, we're not there yet. And then it was, what was the next thing? Oh, dumbbell snatches. 8 alternating dumbbell snatches, 1 minute rest, do it again 6 times. And each one was supposed to be a sprint. And I did the dumbbell snatches unbroken. And I'm back up to a 35 pound dumbbell.
Very good.
So that was good. Leaking my way up with that. I'm able to go unbroken. My leg fatigue is so fast now. And that's why I really just went with air squats. But yeah, I got to zone 4. By the end, I felt like I could push, and I got some confidence as it went on. And so the last little bit, I pushed, and the guy beside me super, super fast, and I scaled it back, and I just wanted to stay like in his vicinity, and I was able to do that.
Awesome.
So I had that competitive tick is coming back.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, but as hard as that was, I just got off the phone with my mom before we went on the air, and she was trying to find a show on Hulu, and I was trying to tell her how to navigate without being able to see the screen.
Yeah.
And her not understanding what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's rough.
I don't know if there's anything in this world. I love my mom to death and we have great conversations, but I'm not sure there's anything in this world that gets me frustrated faster than those episodes.
Mm-hmm.
because she knows I know like tech to some degree, and she's like getting frustrated that I can't explain it to her in a way that she understands, and she has no clue what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My dad will do the same. And at this point, I usually make him video call me so I can see what he's doing.
We were on video. And okay. She got up and left the video phone across the room.
Oh, yeah.
Staring at a wall.
Yeah. It's not helping.
Yeah. Not helping.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
But, I want to talk a little TV talk. Okay. One show I've been forgetting to talk about is Will Trent. If you have not seen Will Trent, it is a must see.
Okay.
And it is, I thought it was great last year, and it is elevated season two.
What's it about?
He is an orphan who came up through the foster care system.
Okay.
And it was not pretty. And he's a GBI agent, which is Georgia Bureau of Investigation.
Okay.
And he is, and they work with the Atlanta PD. And so one of the people that was an orphan with him and came up through the same system is one of the Atlanta PD officers. And so it's kind of their parallel stories, using him as the main character, but investigating crime. But it's very monkish. Like, okay, looks at a crime scene, he just sees things that other people don't see. But it's got a quirkiness that even Monk didn't have. That's super cool. Highly recommend.
What's it on?
ABC.
ABC. Okay. I see Ken mentioned Fallout. I actually got that alert like on my phone Wednesday or Tuesday that was coming out on Prime. So yeah, I might check that out too.
Yeah. One of the most frustrating games I've ever played in my life. I am not good at those like seek and find games, I call them, where it's just an open map and you can go wherever. I always get lost. Have no idea where I'm going. Always get eaten by the radioactive wolves in the middle of the desert. Yeah. So bad at that game. The other thing I wanted to say about TV is I just saw the season finale of Hot Ones for this season.
Okay.
Conan O'Brien. If you just want 20 minutes of pure laughter, check it out on YouTube.
All right.
So good. And the premise is that Conan is trying to like play the bit that these wings aren't affecting him at all.
Oh.
And so he starts cracking open the sauces and dumping extra sauce on everything, chugging it.
Oh no.
And it hits a point where he said, you know, when you have regrets in this life.
Ooh. Yeah, that does not sound like that would be fun.
I was rolling so hard. He did that with the bomb.
Oh no.
And it got him. It was just, and it's funny because Sean, the host, is like, I was going to warn you, but as cocky as you were at the beginning of the show, I was like, let's just see this play out.
Oh man.
Yeah, he does have a new show coming to Max. It's a travel show. And he says on this that it's really designed to make you dumber. Like, you're not going to learn anything about these places. You'll probably learn no less when we're done. So, but I don't know if that's a bit or if that's truly what this is about or whatever, but
I finished up the Physical 100. Did you watch any of that, the first season?
No.
This one piqued my curiosity because it started out with 100 air runners. They just have 100 air runners in a room. And everyone gets on one, and it's 10 minutes of running. They didn't say what the rest was, but you do like 10 minutes of running, then 7 minutes of running, then 5 minutes of running. And it was like 50 got eliminated. So you kind of had to run hard.
Yeah.
But you also had to maintain. So it was like, I don't know. It was really cool. But yeah, just finished that show. There was a few CrossFitters on there. I won't spoil it for anybody. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've heard it's an okay show, like, and it's to get exposure for like the fitness competition thing.
Yeah.
But
yeah. It's like kind of like every like Japanese game show, like not the greatest editing. Like they'll replay like the same scene four times with a ooh, ooh reaction. And it's just like, all right, you could have just played out what happened. But it's really not bad.
Yeah. Kenneth says spoil it.
Well, the CrossFitter wins.
Nice.
Yeah.
Is it someone we know?
No. He's actually, I tried looking him up. I don't know how serious he is so much anymore. He got in a car accident and broke his ankle, and they showed a little bit of that. And so he like had, I think he has a little bit of probably like ankle mobility issues. But they had like a squatting challenge. It was called like endless squats, and it looked nasty, and he crushed it. So he clearly can still squat. They did a pull-up challenge. He was great. I wasn't sure he would win.
Standards. Good.
No, they had like, they said the group agreed on a standard before they started this, and they didn't show you what they agreed on, but they clearly had like decided whatever they agreed. And they like allowed literally everything. Not full extension. They would let them kip. I don't think really any of them knew how to kip. It was kind of like what you would see at the games when the Army has just their rack stand.
Yeah.
So they like the guys were standing on it and they're on it. So it's not really one you would want to like butterfly kip on. So he didn't do that.
Okay. One of the other big news of the TV world is the female basketball tournament outdrew the male basketball tournament. And I thought that was cool because we follow a sport where the women get paid just as much as the men, and the women are just as popular as the men. And how cool is it that other sports are now kind of catching up to that?
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
And another piece of evidence I just happened upon earlier in the week is in college sports last year, three of the top 10 INL earners, so name, image, and likeness, that you can now earn money in college, were female.
That's crazy.
It was Angel Reese, and then two in the top five, which were Caitlin Clark, and number three overall was Livy Dunn. And if you know of Viora, that they always have that clothing line that tried to jump into CrossFit, she is their main person. Viori, that's it.
Okay. Yeah.
She is their main spokesperson. So every Viori ad shows her. So, and she's a gymnast for LSU.
Okay. That's great. That's awesome.
Yeah. So two of the top three women are from LSU. Because Angel Reese plays basketball for LSU and Livy Dunn does gymnastics. So, yeah. I just think it's a cool way that the landscape is shifting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't follow the tournament that much once MSU was out. I would like peek at my bracket. I actually won my bracket in my family. There's like 20 of us. But I would just like peek at the game. I was just not really that interested.
I literally watched more women's basketball than men's this year, by far. My teams are never good at basketball. So like they're never in the tournament anymore. No. So
yeah,
it just doesn't
MSU usually makes it.
Usually they do well.
Yeah.
Well, on to the CrossFit stuff.
All right.
We're going to start with the burpee competition that just didn't end.
Yeah.
So it started with Colton Mertens and Jake Berman. Okay. TTT making a claim that Jake Berman was the best burpee person. And Jake did clarify that he actually said burpee box overs.
Well, I think he just said he's the fastest burpeer in the game in that interview. But yes, he agreed. He should have clarified and said, yeah.
But he was a good sport. Did it and still phenomenal time. He finished with a time of 344, 100 bar over burpees, insanity in my mind. Colton took it way further and did it in 319.
Yeah. Gross.
Watching him pick up the speed in the last 10 to 15, and so impressive. Mm-hmm. How that guy can just block out the pain and go dark and do whatever it takes, mm-hmm. Especially in a head-to-head competition. The coolest part is Colton earned a grand from Swolverine for winning the challenge.
That's awesome.
And I think that what this demonstrates the most is events like this can grow this sport in more ways than one. One, it can pique some interest. I looked down at one time, a spin had over 1,000 viewers live.
Mm-hmm.
In another way, giving the athletes an opportunity to earn funds to help pay for their season will allow them to do more things.
For sure.
And that's going to help grow the sport. So $1,000 from Silverine is pretty freaking awesome. Then an hour later, the fittest dwarf, Tim Murray, tried to break. Kenneth says the highest he saw for spin was 1.3. I knew it was way up there. I didn't want to quote a number. I knew it was well over 1,000. Tim Murray tried to compete with Jake and Colton. And I got to hand it, he came close.
Man, he did incredible. I would have loved to seen him do it over bar on the ground or like on fives or something, just like shorter, and seeing how like competitive of a time he did. But props to him for doing it legit and being as close as he was. He did so good.
I think as like a big middle finger to the world, like I can still do hard things. He made jumping over that bar seem easy, but you and I both know that the amount of energy expended for him to do that nonstop was going to affect his stamina at the end.
Yep.
But for him to do that and do it in 414, like just huge. Mm-hmm. And he earned $3,500.
I know.
From CA Peptides, from the community at large, people donating in the chat. Again, huge for the sport. Mm-hmm. One, adaptive scene, getting exposure like this. Hey, we can do hard things, and we're really damn good at it.
Yeah.
Plus, that probably pays for his trip to the games this year.
Yeah, that's the big chunk.
Yeah, like that's huge. And what a relief for him that's taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
Then John Young this morning, people were calling him out, and he goes to town. Could not respect this dude anymore.
Yeah.
To go down, do this. If he breaks 5 minutes, CA Peptides is going to pay him $1,000. He gets 4:59.
I was shocked. Yeah. I mean, I would have said there was like a 10% chance he could break 5 minutes going into that. I thought like maybe 5:30-ish. What I figured would happen was he was going to go out hot for 50, and the last 50 were going to be slow. And I figured he'd be crawling like 4 or 5 seconds of burpee on the last 10. Like he'd be another 40 seconds on the last 10, and that would bump him up to like 5:30. Like, but man, his finish was incredible. Like he got faster at the end. So yeah, he did great and stepped up to the plate.
Jay Birch, just listening and moving air squats and burpees in honor of all those burpee warriors from yesterday and today.
Good for you, Birch.
Good on you, Jay Birch. I zoned too because I was sore AF. So, but he got the 1,000 from California Peptides, mm-hmm. Peptides, and a $500 donation from someone in the chat, $1,500. Again, this is money to help athletes who aren't your top five.
Right.
Do great things in the season. And I think that goes a long way to get exposure for them. And what I thought was the coolest part, and so subtle, is the confidence that John Young got by completing that task.
Mm-hmm.
And the hype that Taylor was giving him.
Yeah.
That this is what you need to do 3 days a week to be a semifinalist in 2025. And you could tell in John's reaction that he believes it now.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that might have been the coolest thing I saw all weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it was awesome hearing Taylor. Just like be proud of him. Be proud of his effort. Like you could tell he was like super happy for him. That was cool.
John takes a lot of slings and arrows in everything he does, right? Mm-hmm. But you can tell the love that people have for him.
Yeah.
During that event today. And it was so cool to see.
Yeah. Stepped up to the plate.
So this kind of brings me to something we started talking about last week, but it was also a subject on Death By this week about there's a new app that's become a sponsor of CrossFit.
Oh, Hustle Up.
Hustle Up.
That's the title sponsor of our games.
Yeah. So that is your title sponsor?
That's the title sponsor of the Masters games. Yeah.
And they're the title sponsor of the semifinals for elites.
Are they the titles? I didn't know they were the title sponsor of semis. I just knew they were.
They are the sponsor, like the main sponsor for semifinals.
Interesting.
So they must be bringing some cash. The question on Death By was like, we don't even know who this company is, right? They're pretty brand new. How good is it? Or what does it mean that we're accepting money from this? We don't even know who they are. And there was this discussion as to like the alignment of things. And I'm actually to the point I'm probably going to be on the opposite side of the fence of you, but we just need to start taking the money.
Oh yeah. I mean, I never had an issue with Monster or whoever. Like, yeah, we need to get money.
If you were at the games when Monster was sponsoring, all that was supplied was water.
Right.
It was Monster water.
Yep.
And everybody lost their damn minds over it. It was water.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like, it's like they were saying on Death By, I think both Justin and Jason CF Media, like McDonald's and Coke sponsor the Olympics.
Yep.
Right? You need money to fund this event. This isn't the methodology. This is money to put on an event at the highest level, at the highest quality. And whoever's willing to put their name on that, it doesn't mean you have to like go nuts and saying that I eat a Big Mac before I go out on the floor, but it still could be support. And I know McDonald's is the extreme, right?
Right.
The extreme, but I'm just using it as an example. Like it's not all bad to take the money. It doesn't mean you're in bed with them for a long period of time. It means that, and it's like, I think on there they said that they could sponsor drug testing. Like drug testing sponsored by, that way we could do a more robust drug testing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really addressing the competition itself.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't even care if it does. Like when they had Dodge there and their Dodge Ram experience and all of that stuff, Peter, you know, you're hitting me in the feels. Everyone has a price for the $1 million man, Ted DiBiase. If you're not a wrestling fan, Ted DiBiase was a $1 million man. He was a big time heel in wrestling. And actually, there's a great documentary on his life. If you've never seen it, it's awesome. I don't know what Holly's saying here. It's too long for me to read. I think it was Jason who brought up privacy and safety and asking everyone to download it, but also a new app responsible for communication and for such a big event. Maybe it should be tested. So yeah, for semifinals, they're talking about using it as their communication vehicle for volunteers, communication for athletes, all that kind of stuff. So
I guess I don't quite know what it is then. I guess I thought it was a sugar wad, like a logging app.
I think it's all that, but it has more bells and whistles than anything we've seen before.
Okay.
I think you can use it for event planning, event stuff, as well as your everyday affiliate. So the question was, they offer affiliate programming. Is it a conflict of interest because CrossFit has CAP?
Yeah.
Well, everybody offers affiliate programming now. And CAP is just included in your affiliate fee now. So it's not like an extra thing. And if you as an affiliate, I think Jason brought this up, you as an affiliate have the choice of what programming you want to use. You don't have to use a CAP. You can go do whatever. That's why it's an affiliate, not a franchise.
Yeah.
So I think that we need to do more of these events. And I'm going to say it one more time. A year ago, I said, pick events that people are strong at, highlight them, make a championship belt. Colton holds the burpee belt. If people want to take them on, they can. And let them try to win the belt. You saw with Rebecca Fuselier when they bought her a belt for winning 24.3, how cool that was. Just picture Colton walking around with his belt, or he comes on a podcast, slings a belt over his shoulder just to let people know he's the burpee champ. You know, I was thinking, like, you get Kelsey Keel and Hannah Black doing Isabel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who's the Isabel champ?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Two people that aren't like your top five. Get some exposure. Get some proof of concept.
Yeah.
I think it'd be awesome.
Yeah. Nice, like short 5 minutes or less workouts that people can quickly watch.
Yeah. And you're only limited by the creativity of people who can come up with a task that is for time or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And then it's up to the athletes whether they want to do it or not.
Right.
And you'll find out real quick if you pick something that nobody wants to do, that probably was a bad decision. Kind of like rogue record breaker, very much like. But this would be something that we could do, just like have a camera on each person, televise it, stream it, let people get to know. And the coolest part of that is, if you want to show friends something like Colton flying through these burpees, it doesn't take 2 hours for them to sit through to figure it out. It was 3 minutes and 19 seconds. So it just needs to be highlighted like it was this week.
Yeah.
And then you get some sponsorship dollars thrown at it. Then you get viewers thrown at it, and it just starts growing. And it's an easy way for people outside the box to come in and just view what's going on. if you're willing to sit and watch 100 people run on air runners, like someone might come in to watch two people do some burpees.
Yep.
Who never did that before. Just saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Peter, I'm not saying this is something new, but the streaming of it is new, and the highlighting of like just two athletes, one-on-one, head-to-head. Let's see what happens. There's a long off season. If you do something less than 5 minutes, you're not taking away from their training week.
Right.
So I think I've beat that horse to death now. It'll probably come up again next week though. So then team quarterfinals happened.
Yeah.
So big news is Peak 360 wins going away.
Ran away with it, yeah.
And they took what? Two firsts, a second, and a third?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, crushed it.
Any surprises for you?
No, I mean, gosh, I wish I wish there was more like coverage of it. Like,
that's why we're here.
Even Noah put out the mashup video, but like, you don't get to see a whole lot. I feel like when Rich was competing, that like Monday after each workout would get posted, you could watch their whole workout. And I love that. Like, I want to see what sets Noah and Matilde did. And, they were the other, Noah was with Lena, right?
I don't even know because I didn't see.
I watched his little mashup. They showed, but you get to see like two muscle ups from Noah and a couple squats. And, you know, you have no idea exactly what they did or how they broke it up. And like, I saw a post from Chandler. I don't know. I saw like a little mashup from BAW media for Invictus in general, but yeah, no, I would like to see more coverage of, Kara and Khan and them. Like I saw their little mashup and you could see like them falling apart on their muscle ups at the end. So yeah, I'd like to see the workouts. I'd like to see them release the full, some of these big teams, like these top 10 teams in the world, put out their videos. I don't know, but I do think I'm weird in that I'll sit and watch all these teams do one workout. I don't know how many other people would do all that.
If Spin does the thing where he puts like side by sides up, like yeah, I'd watch that.
Heck yeah.
But my biggest disappointment you just mentioned, and that is the Mayhem Australian team with Kara, Emily, Khan, and James. They did well enough, right? They took second in Oceania, but they weren't even in the top 50 worldwide.
No.
And this is your first time on a team. You're kind of like trying to get a ballpark of where you're at, right? And it was not a good ballpark for them coming out of the gate with the names they have on that team.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it was Khan's post said that he's seen James get really fit in like 4 weeks and he's excited to follow. Like he's never like trained with him. So he's excited. So I don't know. We'll see what happens come semis. Have they put together some more fitness or not?
I've also seen Khan's back explode and go out on him in a matter of a blink of an eye. So like, which way is this thing going?
Yeah. This was a pretty back. That's the one thing I heard from all the teams, like in their videos, back's pretty tender, pretty tight. So this was, I mean, there was a lot of hinging pulling, so I'm not really surprised. And they made it out. So, yeah, I don't know. It's hard to get behind some of these teams without, like, seeing more of their workouts and how they move and who you want to cheer for.
So our amazing stats guru, Holly, was at it again. And she put together evidence to prove your point, Jamie. That these teams that are moving on, they're getting scores from people that may or may not
be on the
roster, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So green indicates that they scored for the team, but they're not on the roster. Blue means they're on the roster, but didn't score for the team. And white means that they scored and are on the team. But this includes alternates as well. So like Maria Vargas did not score for the team, but she's an alternate on their team. Heinrich Nagard scored for the team and is an alternate for the team. So on these, you know, like this one makes sense, the Invictus.
Yeah.
Like their roster did what, but you get into some of these, like Ocean State CrossFit, Brittany Hare scored for the team, not on the roster. The two below on the roster, but didn't score on a single event. The Invictus team, they just know who their people are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they really do it the legit kind of way.
Right. Like Rhino, like they put the six on their roster and that's it. And they move on. Like,
Mayhem, two people scored for them that are not on the roster and they don't even have alternates. I don't know why they don't just make those two people alternates.
Yeah. I mean, they probably kind of are, but I think they know they want to go individual.
But this is a great example of what you point out. CrossFit Zarutz Train Cult in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Three members scored for the team, not on the roster. Two people on the roster didn't score a point. And they're moving on. Right. How do you know that they're even a legit team when three people scored for them that aren't even on their roster now?
Right. Well, that's where I said, I feel like the programming kind of needed to be repetitive from the open.
Right. And you also said, like, we don't get the right people to the next stage because they're getting scores from people that aren't even going to compete with them.
Right. Yeah.
So both ways, I think you're right.
Yeah. Thanks.
Do you hear me say that? Both ways, yeah, I think you're right, Jamie. And thank you, Holly. That was really cool chart and really easy to read. Check her out, DataWad, on Instagram, putting out all the coolest stats. So, some other stuff going on in teams is that a handful got disqualified.
I did see some of that.
And it actually came out on Spin today. I actually had a whole bunch of stuff in my notes because one team posted they got disqualified. But then Spin came out with a list of four, I think it was. So I'm going to share that real quick. So here it is. A list of four teams. This was the team I saw on Instagram this morning. The All Grit House.
Yeah, I don't love their disqualification on that one.
Well, we're going to talk about that. And it's the same for everybody who has contacted the Spin about this. And that's so the four that have been disqualified were CrossFit CLT, the Grit House, CrossFit ADM, Chambly, CrossFit Kilo 2, and CrossFit Salvation. And there's possibly more.
Yep.
That's what he has so far. the way it looks when you go to the leaderboard. I'm going to show that real quick. Is you don't see any scores for there, and you're going to get privy. So it's like this.
Oh no.
They blanked out all their scores. So when you go to the leaderboard, that is what you see. Then Kilo 2 was disqualified, which perked my ears big time because Colton Merton's better half is a member of that team.
Right.
And I wanted to, I went to the wrong. And I wanted to verify that was, because sometimes they put more than one team in. But no, it is this roster. And there she is.
Allison and theirs 13. Was the same reasoning?
They did not respond to spin with a reason.
Oh, okay.
But the two people that did said that due to personal reasons, one of the members had to go out of town for the week. So they did their open workout in another affiliate. And the rules book states that for teams, you must do all your workouts in the affiliate together. One of them, the AMD team, the person that had to leave was the owner of the affiliate. Like attached to the affiliate for sure, but because of a personal tragedy had to leave, deal with that, do the open workout in another city, and then come back and did the other two workouts with the team. Yet you don't even have to count their scores.
Right.
At that point. Like, it makes no sense.
No. Well, and the Grit House guy did the workout, but then redid it like Sunday at the firehouse or wherever. And it doesn't say, it does not say in the rule book that you can't, that your submission score has to be from the affiliate. It does not say that. So I really do not agree with the ruling.
Yeah. It seems really hard.
He did the workout. He did the workout in the affiliate. He had, and they were like, here, we'll give you this video and take the 14 second slower time. It wouldn't have mattered. They would have still got in. I don't know why they just didn't go with it. If that's how CrossFit wants to play it, and he had a video, then just take that score. And if it still gets him in, you got to call it good. Because they didn't specify.
He was just working his firehouse job.
Yeah.
And we did it at the firehouse.
We did. Yeah.
These are the reasons that people question the fairness of the sport.
Yeah.
Because you know doggone well, way more teams this happened to.
For sure.
Way more than these four. Because everybody thinks they're meeting the criteria.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
I just find that really, really shitty. So, yeah. So that puts a real damper at the end of a quarterfinals for teams, in my opinion. Now, this is going to be the news that's lingering for teams till we get to semis.
But, well, Andrew, the rule is that you need to perform the workout in the affiliate. Does not say that your score submission has to be the workout that you did in the affiliate.
Right. For Grit House, the gentleman did the workout in the affiliate with the team.
Yes.
He then went on shift for the firehouse, redid the workout at the firehouse. That time was faster, so they submitted that time. Just like anyone would do for their open score if they weren't on a team.
Yeah. Right.
They have video of him doing the workout with the team.
Yeah.
That's where I think.
Change that rule.
I don't know. And they offered And Grit House offered, just take the video of him doing it with us. Exactly. It's only, it's 14 seconds difference.
Exactly.
And there's no way to appeal this decision.
I don't understand that. I don't know how they're saying no to that. Like they met every requirement and gave the, they asked for something, right? But I don't know how they did that. And they replied, here you go. Here's me meeting your standards. And they're just not accepting it. That makes no sense.
Yeah. All right. How much time do we have? Okay, we're still good. All right. So I brought this up on the roundtable. Matt was on Be Friendly Fitness.
Yeah.
And in that conversation, made the claim that CrossFit was trying to F him over by changing the programming to try to prevent him from winning the games.
Bold statement.
One, my first question is, why now? You've been retired for 4 years. You were undefeated from 2016 to 2020. Five championships. And Carolyn is back.
Welcome.
I'm back.
And so why bring up now that you think that CrossFit was unfairly changing the programming to try to stop you when they never did stop you, and it's 4 years after you've retired?
That's a good question. Did he just recently receive information from somebody?
If he did, then isn't that just a badge of pride?
It doesn't mean he wouldn't want to call him out on it. I mean, maybe he's trying to make a point that CrossFit does shady shit and he's learning more things that, I mean, I don't know. I'm not really siding with the guy. I think sometimes some of the stuff he says is, he's not rich. He doesn't seem to promote the community and brand. So some of the stuff he says is hard to get behind.
So that leads me to part two of the question, which is, Dave came on to Week in Review, talked about the claim and said, if he's going to say those things, it's up to him to prove it. And while I agree in like these, an outlandish claim, it kind of is, but I contend that it's up to the sport to prove that they are fair and equitable in everything they do so that the fan base can trust.
Yeah.
That they're seeing a legit competition. The NFL has to do that. Tennis has to do that. Jeopardy has to do that, right? Any kind of competition, you have to prove that it's a fair competition or people will stop watching. Andrew and I got into a battle in the comments of the roundtable on Tuesday. And he said that CrossFit can't respond to every outlandish comment. And I do agree with that. But they still, there is some question for people with CrossFit because of, well, Brooke showed she has the capacity.
Correct.
Skipping over Matt for Jason for the Invitational. There's all these little things that have happened in the last 10 years that lead people to believe that it's not fair and equitable. Well,
this incident with Grit House, like they shoot themselves in the foot constantly that you're questioning their, like, I could totally see them. I mean, on one huge hand, Matt's claim is completely believable.
Yeah. It just comes off as, I don't even know what it just comes off weird because you never were stopped. And
yeah,
it's been a long time.
Yeah.
So Andrew and I continue. The people who claim a sport is not fair will never be satisfied no matter what evidence they're shown. I disagree with that, Andrew, because yes, Matt will never be satisfied if that's what he truly believes. Because there's no empirical evidence that's going to come out that says that programming wasn't changed.
So what part of the program did was he like referring to? Because I saw the weekend review, but I don't know what, I haven't seen the side of Matt's thing.
It was just, and he's made the statement before.
Yeah.
Right.
It just has been highlighted again. And he didn't give specifics as to what in the programming was changed.
So is he just basically claiming that they would try to find ways to have him not win?
Correct.
And I don't even know if it was so much the programming, maybe a little bit, but I feel like the initiation of it was more like every year the scoring table would change or something would change, probably in a way to try to like make him not win. I feel like was more of it, more so than a specific event programming wise. I feel like it was like changing point systems and stuff like that.
The whole season would change. Like we had to switch scoring system when you have 170 athletes and then all of a sudden you have 10 at the end of the Sunday, right? So like that's hard to change from the year that Noah almost beat him.
Yeah.
I mean, you had to have.
I think that's the year he's referring, if I were guessing.
But that was such a unique year that I feel like they couldn't have predicted the fact that Matt could have basically won all the last workouts and it wouldn't have been enough because of the way the scoring was, right? Like they couldn't have predicted that.
But I could take the circumstantial evidence of that because there were two scores on the one event on the final day. And that could have changed because we didn't know what that was till Sunday, that they wanted Matt to win. Because they made that a two-scored event, it gave Matt a better shot at winning.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think he would have had enough points to come back had that not been basically more two-scored events.
Yeah. So I could argue in the other direction that they changed the programming to let him win.
Yeah. Matt was going to win either way. Any year. He was so dominant.
Yeah.
So... But I guess my overall argument is you don't have to answer to every claim, right? This isn't a onesie twosie kind of thing, but the fans should have, if you want to be a pro sport and be taken seriously, fans have to believe that it's a fair competition.
Yeah.
And what CrossFit doesn't have going on right now that other sports do is betting. Like if you don't make it a fair shot in basketball or football or it affects Vegas, and Vegas is not going to allow that to happen unless it's in their favor.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That's just my two cents.
Yeah. I'd just be curious where he's getting these facts from. But I'm sure he won't come out with that.
Yeah. The interview was, if you haven't watched it, was really confusing to me. And I really think O'Keefe needs to be the spokesperson for HWPO.
Yeah. I actually think Jake Marconi usually does a pretty good job.
Agreed. I think Matt is there for name.
Yeah.
Does Matt do any of the programming?
If you watch this video, you will not believe he does.
Yeah. That's the kind of impression that I have is that I feel as though he's not doing any of the programming, right? Most people would hop onto HWPO thinking this was the recipe to his success.
Well, and they've branched out in so many different directions. Like, I can't blame him for not being involved, but don't go on a podcast not prepared. Like when they ask you who Brooke's coach is, and Brooke Wells is one of the biggest names in the sport, and you can't name her coach.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You should be able to at least do that.
I feel like when he's invested in something, like whatever he's invested in is 100%. And he's not worried about anything else. And I think that's what made him so successful is when he's, you know, into something that he's all in. So he's not even focused on anything else that's getting run with the company, who's coaching who. If he's coaching this and that athlete, everything's on those athletes. That, you could almost sense that last year with Katrin, right? When he was coaching her, like he was, you could tell like that was his athlete, right? Like once Mal kind of went to the side, it was, he was trying to get Katrin the best that she could. And he was there for her every event and whatever she needed. And I feel like that's his personality. So maybe the programming that he's doing is on the direct athletes that he has access to and everything else. That's not on his plate. And that's not his focus.
I think that's a great point.
Yep.
But as a business person, don't let him go on podcasts then to talk about the whole company.
Yeah.
You know that if you're running your business, you need to. Yeah. Kenneth says, surprised they haven't had a High Rocks track featuring Mal O'Brien yet.
Yeah.
It's coming. I'm sure.
Yeah.
So next thing on the agenda is Stacy Marino, you know, because we want to give Masters our love. Stacy Marino made an announcement today that due to health concerns, she's having to withdraw from the 2024 game season. And while she did not go into details about that, what that is, she did say it's going to be a long road back. She knew this was happening back in November and tried to push through it, thinking her body was strong enough to be able to, and it just didn't. And we hung out with her at Legends. Mm-hmm. She was at Crash Crucible with you, Jamie. You competed against her there. High level Masters athlete. Really sad to see her not be able to compete, but we hope and pray that she gets a speedy recovery and fully back to health and able to compete again in the near future.
Yeah. Yep. I was super bummed to read that. She definitely didn't look like herself the first 2 days of Legends, kind of came back, looked much more like herself towards the end, but yeah, she's been seeming to be like sick a lot. So I hope she gets this figured out, and she, girl's a fighter, man. She'll come back stronger than ever.
And
I fully believe that.
Is she Canadian or no?
I don't think so.
No.
I get her and Amy Morton mixed up sometimes.
Yeah.
That's probably what it is.
I want to say she's like in New York area.
Yes, I think so. Because I think a couple of my hockey friends train at her gym. I think it's the New York area because that's where they are.
Yeah. And I mean, she had a lot on her plate right before Legends. Her building was sold and she had to find a whole new space. She wasn't even going to possibly not even make it to Legends. She just had a whole lot of stress. So they had to move locations, move everything right around December. And I just can't, I can't imagine.
So
that doesn't help.
So my next topic is, if you didn't see the Angelo Meltdown episode of the Froning podcast, well worth the first 15 minutes for sure.
Yeah.
What had happened was the team was 80% into their workout and someone hit the clock and messed it up. And Angelo saw it, lost his mind. Went full meltdown, lots of beeps, lots of covering up of swear words. Rich did say none of it was directed at the person who hit the clock. It was just, it's Angelo being Angelo and just getting it out by walking off, yelling into the air and just getting it out. But regardless of that, I wanted to ask you, as two high level athletes who have to video your workouts, what would happen if someone unplugged your clock, hit a button, and you were 80% through a workout for an online like quarterfinals or semis at the Masters level?
I don't know. On one hand, I know they talked about this, like they should have maybe just finished and figured out if they could submit it and run a clock neck. Like, I don't know. You'd like to think CrossFit could figure some of this stuff out and see that the clock is running the whole time. So if you overlaid another clock next to that and it just continued on the same, it shouldn't matter, but I guess you're editing the video. I don't know. I would probably want to like finish the workout and try submitting what I have. And then maybe doing it as having a second attempt as a backup if they deny it. But yeah, that's frustrating. Clock stuff is so frustrating.
Me, it happened in 2020, 20.1, but it was camera that turned off or got full or whatever. But I had just finished and then the camera turned off. But I've had it happen where someone like walks in front of a camera or like press the button, it stops. Like it could have been like a rogue challenge or whatever. And it's frustrating for sure. And then it's like, especially if that was like your all out effort, like it's hard to repeat that exact effort. Cause if you were hoping that was like a one and done, yeah, it's frustrating. Yeah. So now like I put cones everywhere when I'm about to go just to be like, don't go in this area in front of this camera. So you try to predict some stuff, but it's so hard at like those training camps like Mayhem and stuff because they have so many videographers and photographers. Like I'm always, every time I look at their stuff, I'm like, those people walking around have to be blocking certain reps. Like I would not want during a qualifying workout, a photographer or like a media person just walking around doing circles. That's me because I would be scared of like, they just get into the frame of that angle of the video. But I mean, maybe they're used to it and they have different angles of their camera, but it's tough. I mean, that can just happen. It's just unfortunate.
Yeah. I'm shocked that they don't use Wadproof or WeTime.
Wadproof. I don't use Wadproof very often.
I don't use Wadproof. I use WeTime, but I don't know. Like I will like whatever I'm filming has the clock in it. Like I don't want to mess with that.
See, I like looking at the clock when I'm doing it. So I don't use Wadproof, but if I do use Wadproof for like a random thingy, I'll make sure to have another clock that I can see so that you can have it as well. But
Kenneth said, poor Ben Davidson. It was not Ben Davidson. No, Ben is the one that actually captured the footage of Angelo's meltdown.
Yeah.
I have to say, like, I am not an athlete at your level. I would lose my damn mind. I would be Angelo walking off, swearing into the air. You'd have to bleep everything I said. And it would not be at anybody. It would just be frustration in a moment. Got to get it out. And then I just come back and I would reline up and go again. Probably an hour or two later, but.
Yeah. It would depend on how late they had, you know, if that was like Thursday and they still had till Saturday night, it's not as bad. But if let's say they had already done it once and that was their second time because they messed up something the first time or they weren't happy, that's more frustrating. But I'm assuming that was their first attempt. And they probably had some time, but I mean, yeah, I get Angelo just swearing, not necessarily at the person, but just letting that out. I think that's completely natural.
Yeah, yeah. For sure.
Yeah, I was an angry young man. I've done better in my older age, but yeah, this body only has so many sprints in it. Like, don't waste one of my sprints.
I agree with Peter's comment here about the screen size. That's one of the reasons I don't use Wadproof. I find it's too zoomed in. It's like I never use the video feature. I always press on photo and then slide it because it's a little bit more zoomed out, I guess, than when you do video on your iPhone. I never use the video one. I just photo because it's too zoomed in. And then I'm so far away at that point that to try to get everything in that I don't like that angle. I would rather be closer.
So
that sounds like an iPhone problem.
When I was in school, you know, there was this program called Where There's a Will, There's an A. And it's always that you do whatever it is the teacher wants you to do, whether you agree with it or not, because getting them in your good favor when they're grading a test is the best. So from an official judge, having the clock embedded is helpful for the video review judge.
Yeah. Well, I've just always dealt with WeTime or WadProof, whatever one they're asking for. It puts the timestamp on it. It puts the like logo of whatever you're doing. Like you can tell it's a legit video from the time that it was supposed to be submitted in. And the clock is in there and somebody can't step in front of that. Like at least that'd be my other worry. Like somebody may think if I had a stand up clock like Angelo's, what if they just step in front of that? And then the clock was out of screen for a minute, like 2 seconds. Like, I mean, I don't know. I just, if it's on the screen, it's on the screen.
Yeah. So I have a clock that is portable. And it's really nice. So if you're doing, when I was like the head judge for my old gym, like I would bring that and put it wherever I needed to, if someone needed theirs videoed. And that way you had a nice big red official clock that you could move into the screen really easily, not fixed to the wall or anything.
The one I bought with Lex, we each bought one, is that little one that's like magnetic. I think it's called from Time Birds or something like that. That's like one of the best investments I've made in the past year. Every time the clock's being used at the gym and we have like two or three clocks, like I can just put my clock, stick it to the post on the rig and then just start going. And I've used that in qualifier workouts because like I said, the WadProof often zooms in too much, but I'll like put it somewhere or I'm using the one on the wall, but I've like put it on a box closer to the camera. So it's like literally seen the whole time and I'm in the background there. And I might be looking at other clock if I don't need that one in particular, but that's been a nice one. The little ones that are magnetized.
Judy Reed, dang, did I miss them talking about Colton, Jake, and Tim and John? We talked about all of them back at the 10 minute mark.
I will do 100 burpees for time for all this money right now.
So, I know.
We should go head to head. And if they want to give us,
we should go.
It'd actually be a good battle. I think it'd be good.
You would crush it.
We should do it this weekend.
No, maybe not this weekend.
All right. Let me know when.
After quarters.
If $1,500 got thrown away.
If $1,500 got put on the line, I'd do it. I'd do it right now. Sure. And my back feels broken right now. So.
Agreed.
Do you think either of you could beat either Jake or Colton?
No. I don't think any female is beating the pressing capacity of a male. An explosive pressing capacity. I don't think one of our top females beats Colton. Mm-mm. I really don't. I don't think Emma Carey can do it. I don't think even the Mirror Gym, whatever girl that's smaller, and the Tyrox girl. I still don't think you beat Colton or a top male athlete that has that explosive burpee power and is short. I think someone that could give Colton a run for their money is like Upitis or what's his name? He does well with deadlifts and burpees normally too. Someone like that maybe, but
all the Upitis.
Yeah.
I don't think Christy Arimo would be my top pick for girl. Not for barfers and burpees. I think there's better games athlete for bar facing burpees. I think the reason she did very well with the burpee to the target is she's got very strong legs as well, Christy. And for that burpee to touch where she won, I'm assuming that's why we're picking Christy Ermo. When she won the 100 burpees to that target, she's a great squatter. Great squatter, great engine and stuff like that. But if I'm picking bar facing burpees, I think someone of like Krista Holta,
Emma Carey.
Emma Carey comes to mind. Probably the first person. Emma McQuaid. Fee.
Emma McQuaid would be phenomenal.
Those type of athletes, the open type athletes that are smaller, lighter, just go. I think. I still think Chrissy would do very well, but I don't think she'd be my number one pick. And Chrissy's probably one of my favorite athletes in the CrossFit space. I'm not dissing her. She's literally probably my number one favorite. And I've told her that too. No, I don't.
Awesome. No,
I don't think so. I think Emma Carey would be faster.
Yeah.
That burpee over the box workout from the open a couple years ago. She crushed the world on
that. Emma Carey.
Yeah.
She also had the smallest, tiniest little box, which makes a huge difference.
But it shows her jumping capacity.
Oh, yeah.
Burpees, right?
I think Emma Carey would be my number one pick for something like this. But I think that helps quite a bit on the top of the box because it was literally like 16 or 15. It was the minimum that you could have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Versus having like a 24-inch wide box, which I think like Holta and I did it on, and we were right behind her. And I think that makes a small difference in seconds. I still think Emma wins, but that could be a little faster.
It'd be fun to see Chandler do it. I don't think he has the stamina that the other athletes have. I think he'll be quick out of the gate. And yeah, my opinion.
I still think
Holta. Right. I am down to 3 minutes. Okay. So what I'll do is I'll start this last question and then I may have to duck out. And then Jamie, just hit end stream when you guys are done.
Okay.
So yesterday on, or 2 days ago on Death By, it was brought up that in the tactical games, they are doing drug testing in a way where someone can anonymously list an athlete they think is using. And that's how that person will get tested. So, example, Jamie, you think that Carolyn is using, you anonymously submit her name and Carolyn gets tested. That's how Tactical Games is doing it. Do you think that would work?
We already have that.
See?
We already can submit to CrossFit Games or the CrossFit website. They have something if you want to put someone there. You can already do that. They have done follow-ups on certain people. I don't know if they've caught them because they often don't test them during the season. But there is something, if I remember, on the CrossFit Games site that you can message. I don't know if it was.
So this is – I think the only difference is this is directly at the national championships.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. But they're going to test
at the games. And you walk up to Dave and say anonymously, I'm saying – Carolyn is using.
Everyone would have been tested at semis to get to the games.
Mm-hmm.
That is true.
So, yeah, that's silly.
I just feel like people would just be throwing anyone around. But like I said, there is something like that now. I'd have to look at where it is on the...
Well, nobody will throw anybody around because they don't want their name thrown around. Because it'll just be retaliation if it ever comes out.
That they told on someone else type thing? Like, I would have nothing to worry about because I don't take anything. Like, they can put me under...
like, right. I don't know.
Yeah. Who's to say someone doesn't say, hey, Dave, everyone's using. Test them all.
Yeah. You should.
Yeah.
Well.
My biggest problem with the drug testing is I don't care about the testing at the comp. I want them testing 2-3 weeks before the comp, a month before the comp, at their gym, unannounced, show up. That's what I want. They know they're getting tested at these damn comps. That's not where you catch them. If you catch them there, they don't know what they're doing.
Right.
Test them. What, I don't know if it's 3 weeks, whatever, that's the prime time during the open at their gym, during quarters. That's what, right now, quarters. I bet you right now, this is prime time drug for people. There's no testing. They're at their home gym. They're trying to qualify for semis in about a month or two, whenever that is, month and a half. show up at these camps, not just camps, gyms, whatever, test there. Unannounced, blood test, urine, for all of it. Do it. That's my thing.
Just totally to clear.
Good. Not at Sunny's.
Clear this up. Everybody at the games has been tested.
Mm-hmm. Right.
In the elite division.
Right.
I just want to clear that up.
Individual. In the individual elite.
Right.
Yeah, right.
And half the teams.
And two out of the four, which is not good.
I got to go. I'm going to leave it to you. Jamie, just hit end stream when you guys are done. Yep. Have fun finishing this conversation.
Okay, bye. Yeah, I mean, at the games makes no sense. You're right. Like, that's not where you're catching.
Like, you really still have to do it at the games and at the semis and stuff, because obviously that's an easy place to do it. Everyone's already there. You don't have to send people to different locations, and you still want them to be clean at that event. But that's not, I think, where people are necessarily on stuff.
Right.
While they're competing.
Totally agree. Yeah.
Do you think that they'll ever get to a point where all four members get tested for teams?
No. And it would be nice if, like, whatever two got tested at semis, the other two got, I don't know if they do anything like that. Like, they double check who they tested at semis. Yeah. Well, yeah, Ricky didn't know what he was doing, clearly. I don't know what happened there.
And Ricky, he was a rookie at that point, so he probably didn't expect to be third place. Like, he was going there not thinking that he was going to do maybe as well. I don't know.
Yeah, I almost feel like it should be not anonymous, though. I don't know. I guess it does. I don't know.
It's tough. I would just like more, but of course I'd like more. But I guess we'll see what changes. I feel like we're getting less and less money in our sport right now, so I feel like there's probably going to be not as much.
Less testing? Yeah.
Which is not what we want.
I'm very curious to see what happens with Masters.
That's another issue normally in the Masters.
Yeah, because
it's a lot more prevalent, I would
assume. Right, and I don't think they don't test at like Legends or MSC. So if Legends hasn't ever been budgeting that, like, it's not going to get done when they take over for the game. So that, I don't know, that worries me.
Yeah, because I guess like what's CrossFit's role at the Masters Games? Like, are they just allowing them to use the name CrossFit? It's the CrossFit Masters Games, and there's some small support maybe in broadcasting. They'll help a little bit, but in terms of the broadcasting, I'm not sure. That we'll see this year,
right?
I'm assuming that at least the top podium. What did they do at the games this year? I think it was top five.
I think it's five, tested. Yeah.
And there was 10 athletes in the field. No at random, right? It was always the top five.
Correct.
So half the field got tested at the games. So at least that's good, because there was only 10 people per division. So with 40 athletes now, it's not that many.
No.
Because a lot of people will be going that haven't been filtered.
And they don't get tested at semis to go to the game.
You're all online.
Right.
Until, sucks.
I know.
I wish eventually that there would be like a semifinal for Masters and teams, different than maybe like even individuals. Mm-hmm. And then you go to the games. Even if it was like the Wednesday, Thursday was Masters and age group at the semifinals, and then the Friday, Saturday, Sunday was teams and individuals or something. Or even Masters and the Indies and teams on another day. Because I think the teams, like, implements could be like, they have way too many things. And the worm, it'd be easier if it was like similar workouts between the Masters and the individuals.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be cool. I mean,
and they would run similarly. like at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've always felt that way with like the teams that like they're the ones who are taking all this extra equipment, more equipment, different, bigger equipment, and like a resetting of the floor. I feel like that's where the extra costs come in. So yeah, it to me it's never made quite sense to separate the masters in one place, the teens in one place, and then keep individuals.
It's not the floor doesn't change for any of them. It's maybe the weights a little bit, but that's about it.
Yeah.
Not much.
Yeah, we did kick Scott out.
Is there anything else from today?
Nope. That was the last thing on was the drug testing. So wrapped it up pretty good this week.
How you feeling coming into next week?
Oh my God. I'm broken down. I heard you had some body work. That's why you were late getting on. And I had a massage today too. And I was a mess. I could not like get off the table. I gotten so stiff. Luckily her husband is also like my chiropractor. So he came and did some adjustments, but I'm a wreck. Like, I feel like I haven't recovered since the open. So I don't know. I'm nervous.
Yeah. I had my back the last 2 days has been almost feels bruised a little bit at the bottom, like an extension. It's not, but like, it just feels that way. Like that's a feeling of it. And mm-hmm. I've been walking very slowly and a little crooked. I don't know where, like what happened. I think it was my last piece on Tuesday. I had sandbag walks, yoke carry, and sled pushes. And I think when I was moving my sandbag just to begin the workout, like to bring it to the station I was going at, I think that's when like maybe I just didn't lift it very well. It's just been stiff. I think it'll be good. It's just going to take a few days to kind of unlock. So the last 2 days I've had treatment. I took yesterday off completely, and I'm supposed to work out normally on Wednesdays. Today I moved around a little bit at school and then took this evening off to get some treatment. I'm hoping tomorrow I can lift from the floor. But if I need to not lift from the floor tomorrow, I'll take it one more day. I think it'll be good by Saturday. Nothing serious. I was broken.
Yeah. What's your plan for next week? Are you going to start on Wednesday or are you going to start on Thursday?
I keep going back and forth in my head. I keep saying, oh, maybe I should just start it on Wednesday and take Tuesday off. And then I have a staff meeting after work on Wednesday now. So we have it once a week. So that would be until 4:30. If I go to the staff meeting, I'm going to not do the workout on the Wednesday and digest them and plan my weekend out. I'm saying if I don't go to the staff meeting, because I was going to maybe say that I have like a medical appointment or something. But we'll see. Normally I'm at the staff meeting until 4:30. So I have a feeling I'll look at the workouts Wednesday. I think I'll take Wednesday off completely. I'll move around on Tuesday. So ideally tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, I'll work out normally. Probably like I'm deloading in terms of not necessarily volume, but more how heavy I'm lifting and just more. I think that's how I do better with my deload. I can still keep the intensity and still do like regular training. Tuesday, I'll move around. So Monday, I'll take off. Tuesday, I'll move around. Maybe do like rowing and some shuttle runs. Maybe some light power snatches, like at like, I don't know, 115 to 125, but like not for many reps. Wednesday, I would take off, look at the workouts, hopefully do one or two Thursday, one maybe on Friday, because I'm assuming I'll be sore on Friday. So I'm thinking it might be only one. Saturday would be a redo of maybe one of the first two scores that are in. And then Sunday or Monday, whatever, like that fourth one that I haven't done, or it really depends on what they are, how many scores events. Are you doing them Wednesday or Thursday?
No, I'm going to take Wednesday off completely and then start on Thursday. We'll see if I do two on Thursday. I think Scott's getting into town on Thursday, but I definitely will do one on Thursday. And I might just do one Thursday, one Friday, one Saturday.
And that's my other thing too, is I probably won't, now that I think about it, because I'm working, I don't think it's probably, I would perform the best if I do two on an evening after a long day of work. So worst case is I would take the Friday off work feeling sick Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they'll take Friday maybe off work. So I would go one Thursday night, yeah, two on Friday, but split like maybe one earlier, maybe around like 9 or 10, and then one later on. Because it does get exhausting like at the end of the week to teach. And then you go into
Just the stress of these. Yeah. The whole thing is stressful.
It's very stressful.
Yeah.
And like some people do very, very well there and they do less well in person. And they just like crushed it. Last year, I didn't do as well as I wanted to in the quarterfinals. I think I was like maybe 30 something. So I can't do like that because I would be very, very close to maybe it was 20 something. Right. High 20s or low 30s. But that still scares me. It's like, oh, I was pretty close to the cut of 40. So I need to take it a little bit better.
Yep. That's my plan.
Cool.
So, all right. Well, get a good night's rest and I hope the rest of the weekend goes good for training for you. And I'm sure I'll be in touch.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'll message you when I see the workouts.
Yeah. We can chat about them for sure. Yeah. It's nice to have someone that we could like talk to about scores even and
trust each other. Yeah, my scores don't matter for you. So you can.
Well, you can. We're in the same region, but we'll talk.
Yeah. All right.
You guys all have a good night.
Goodbye, everybody. I don't know I always forget how to do the music out. So we're just going to end the stream. So bye.
Bye.
C4 Energy, Extend, and CelluCor are delivering the most effective, best tasting, and highest quality products for you. Get 20% off when you use the code Clydesdale at checkout at C4energy.com. That's C4energy.com. And now back to the interview.